Next on BYUSN, it's another winning Monday, baby, for Cougar football after a dominant win at UCF. What was the most impressive part of the win? What does it mean moving forward? ESPN's Trevor Maddich on BYU's top 10 ranking is number 9 justified, and could they go 12-0?
Spencer Linton goes one-on-one with Arizona Cardinal and former Cougar Kyrus Tonga on his fourth NFL season, and what's impressed him about BYU's 8-0 start? And the cardiac Cougs strike again as BYU women's soccer picks up a massive road win in the regular season finale.
Chance for the Cougars. Goal, BYU!
What a big one! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter, BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, October 28th, and you know what that means. 8-0, baby! Let's go! I'm Jerem Jordan alongside stunt double coordinator Jason Shepherd.
I feel like anything I say is just going to be so low-key compared to that.
Look, in other news.
Here's the deal. I am so glad Sione Pua finally spoke up and said something about the travesty that has continued to happen via the Pro Football Focus College social media account.
This is great every week.
This is great. They keep putting this, when BYU wins, they keep putting this picture of Sione Pua with the implication that it's Kalani Sitake. And this is, people have been telling them this for weeks. They still keep putting it up, which basically means they're doing it in spite of the situation.
It's deliberate.
Just to have fun.
Yep.
But finally, Sione Pua reached out specifically and says, please, please, Kalani's way more handsome. Can you please upgrade the picture? So funny.
Love the stunt double. I talked to him after the Oklahoma State game after this. I was like, are you aware of this? He's like, oh, yeah, we laugh about it. But, hey, BYU hasn't lost since this has been posted. So if you're stitious at all, keep it going. You know what I'm saying? 8-0, dude.
It's a great point.
8-0.
8-0. There was
life is good.
I can't remember if it was you and I doing the show or if it was me and Spencer, but we were having this conversation and it was like, okay, all right, we'll really get excited if BYU's 8-0 going into the bye before Utah. Here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
There's the 9-0 crowd who are waiting for that. Lots to talk about. Let's go. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Welcome inside FBC Mortgage Stadium in Orlando, Florida, known as the Bounce House. But it's the BYU Cougars with some spring in their step.
LJ Martin kept the legs turning. Robert stays in bounds. 15-10, 5 touchdown.
That was like a Cougar growl in the middle of the call there from Greg. That was great. BYU beats UCF to improve to 8-0, 37-24 on the road. Man, lots to digest, lots to discuss. But what was the most impressive part of BYU's win to you?
Yeah, and the best part about that question is there are so many things to choose from. I've kind of narrowed it down to two things, really. The first thing that comes to mind was just how confident and, quite frankly, dominant BYU came right out of the locker room. Right from the get-go, they took control of this game. And I know that
17-0.
It turned into a 10-0 run by UCF, and they had the touchdown advantage, but then BYU immediately answers with the touchdown to Roberts, who broke some unbelievable tackles, stayed in bounds, and you go into halftime with a 14-point advantage. So I loved the attitude that they came out in the game with, to like, we're just going to take control of this from the start. The other thing that really stands out to me, and it goes back to the defense, which we've talked so much about, but everything about this matchup last week going into it, at least from my perspective, was can BYU slow down this rushing attack? And it was both Jakari Brown and obviously RJ Harvey. Because you look at what the two did the previous week, and it's night and day. If you look at individual performances, specifically with Brown, because if you look at what Brown did, what Brown can do for you against Iowa State and what he can do for you against BYU are two completely different things. If you look at what he did against Iowa State the week before, 13 carries for 155 yards.
Yeah. And BYU
and two touchdowns, by the way.
And BYU had given up a lot of yards.
Yes, to quarterbacks.
Yes.
This, as you mentioned, 9 yards.
Nine.
Nine. And I understand that R.J. Harvey finished with 127 yards. He was as good as advertised, but his yards ultimately were meaningless. He had two big runs that gave the bulk of it, and I know they all count. You can't take them away because we always say, well, if you take away the two big runs. Yeah. But they one set up a touchdown, but the other, it didn't matter. And so BYU's defense held a potent rushing attack to almost 100 yards less than what they had been averaging. So impressive.
Friday, I said on the program that BYU would outrush UCF. That felt pretty bold. It happened.
It happened.
And it was by a lot. 252 to 181. Are you kidding me? The fact that LJ Martin has come back and Hinkley Ropati healthy.
Yeah.
LJ's gone for a hundy back-to-back weeks, man. This guy is his legs are so strong. He falls forward. He gets extra yards. He leans into that. And then Hinkley Ropati gets 83 yards as well. So those two combined for 184. Those two outrushed the UCF attack that was going for 280 again, third in the country, second by some metrics. You know, second straight week going 250 plus, which brings us to our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
First time 250 plus in back-to-back weeks since 2016. Remember, BYU had a NFL battery, if you will, and Jason Hill Williams. That's the combo name.
I like it.
Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, Toledo, and Michigan State in 2016. The ground attack is really good. Not to mention Jake Retzlaff scored a 29-yard rushing touchdown. So back-to-back games of 27 and now a 29 for Jake. If BYU can run the ball, they're not going to run the ball like this every week. But if they can run the ball to the tune of 175 plus, 200 plus, they will continue to win.
Why can't they run like this every week?
What's stopping them?
Yeah, what do you think would stop them?
Utah's defense is good.
Yes.
I dare say very good. They're top 25 in a bunch of stuff.
They're only averaging, giving up about 15, 16 points, even in the losses.
16 and a half is 11th in the country. But I'm confident in this O-line, which is awesome because you have a third stringer in Bruce Mitchell at center. Mm-hmm. You have Austin Leusa at right guard after Sonny Maccasini got hurt. You've had Connor Pay out. Like, Connor Pay's out, and BYU's continued to be able to rush the ball. That's a notable thing. When Connor Pay comes back, potentially the Utah game, what do you do? Because you've got a good thing going on the O-line, right? You put Connor in there. It's just a question of, do you keep Bruce Mitchell? Do you move him at guard? Has he earned that? You got some good depth there. How about this run game for BYU? You haven't needed to chuck it for a million yards. You throw for 228. The balance of 200 plus has been awesome. That impressed me the most, the run game.
Well, and let's talk about then we go from the run game to the pass game, which also includes a little bit of a run game. And we're talking about Jake Retzlaff, what he's done.
Man.
16 of 24, 228 yards, and 200 of that happened in the first half, by the way. Two touchdowns, zero INTs. An efficiency rating of 174.
By the way, that's his highest against any FBS team in his 12 starts.
He was unbelievable. 38 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. The thing that stands out to me the most about what we're seeing from Retzlaff, certainly the numbers are impressive, but it's his decision-making on when to run, when to step up for a pass in the pocket. I love, you can sort of see the mental game working, and
wheels turning.
He's playing it to perfection right now. I'm so impressed with him right now.
He's playing great. The play of the game for Jake was his third and nine run of 12 yards, where he kind of spun around and dove and got past a guy for a first down there. That was big time. This rushing touchdown right here was awesome. Jake Retzlaff was great. In fact, here's Kalani Sitake on Jake Retzlaff after the game with Spencer.
I love the way he's been playing. I love his leadership and just the way he is around our team. He's starting to really come into his own, and so I'm excited to see the future with him.
Jake Retzlaff, top five in the Big 12 in the following: pass yards per completion, TDs responsible for, passing touchdowns, total yards, pass yards per attempt, pass efficiency. Jake is better than we thought. He's way better than we thought. I love even now, like nationally, I don't know that he gets the love that he deserves. He's been awesome. Someone tweeted they love the Beastie Boys song to the BYU highlight and said, the greatest Jewish rappers with the Jewish quarterback in BYU. I thought that was awesome. How about Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports putting out, hey, all the proceeds for this BYU Jew t-shirt go to Jake Retzlaff. That's Dave Portnoy. This guy's got millions of followers.
Legit.
It is gaining traction. What Jake is doing, who he is, how he's overcome 0-4 as a starter last year to 8-0 is unbelievable. And he's a big piece in the puzzle. This isn't a situation where you go, it's Dave Matthews Band. It's not the Jake Retzlaff Band. It's the BYU Cougars featuring Jake Retzlaff, Chase Roberts, Darius Lassiter, LJ Martin, Mata Avatase, by the way, 3 touchdowns on 4 catches this year. Boom, right there. Well done by our production crew. Chase Roberts in the end zone at the end of the half. That was awesome for 62. BYU is truly a team. This is a great team. There's not a superstar on either side of the ball. There are a bunch of stars, and so far they're shining bright. Let's go.
Well, and I think that's also with all of the publicity that Jake is getting, and it is well-earned, one of the big reasons he's getting this is because of the way the team is playing, and I know that's how every one of them looks at it. It's what we're doing as a team. It's the defense stepping up when they need to. It's the offense stepping up when they need to. And now you're getting all of these guys back, all of these players healthy, and this team is accomplishing this week in and week out.
Relatively healthy, which is great.
Yep.
Of course, there's a few injuries, but nothing major. You know, Connor Pay, the biggest of them. Hopefully he's back against Utah. We shall see. I'm sure he'll give us an update on social media somewhere because Connor's good like that. Okay, the two-minute offense strikes again for BYU. How about UCF late in the half scores a field goal to make it 17-10. It's like, oh, 10 straight. What you going to do? BYU goes 75 yards in 4 plays thanks to a 62-yard touchdown to Chase Roberts where he avoids a tackle and then sprints down the sideline. Spencer spoke to Chase after the game about the mentality of the offense on two-minute drills specifically.
You're always thinking touchdown first unless you know you're going to get tackled in bounds. So I'm always thinking touchdown, but also playing smart and getting out of bounds. But I felt he was under me and was able to shed the tackle and take it for 6. So
BYU's responding great. Like when a team is challenging them, they are responding. And at the end of the half, great, kind of that middle 8 that we've talked about. BYU's focused on that, and they've been tremendous there.
Well, the thing that I like, and it goes back to the comment about it being a team, we're watching Roberts make a big play, breaking tackles, making a play, LJ making a play, or Jake. Sometimes, obviously, we've seen Darius Lassiter making plays. It can be different guys, and that's what Aaron Roderick and Fessy Satake have wanted this offense to be, where you don't know where it's going to come from, and if you take away this weapon, oh, we've got this weapon. And that's what BYU is showing as it continues through the season.
You don't need throw it to Puka, he'll make a play. Like,
right.
You have several very good players, right? Is there a great player on the team, like a first or second round guy right now? Probably not. But you got a bunch of guys that could be in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round kind of stuff as we look forward the next couple of years in the NFL draft.
All right, let's switch things up and go back to the defensive side of the football. Look at this. Versus UCF. 24 points, and let's be honest, the last 2 touchdowns, kind of garbage points anyway. You bring in the 4th-string quarterback.
You wrecked three
was
scores.
A completely different style of quarterback.
Yeah.
And he went and just went throwing the ball.
All good.
So I'm not concerned about 24 points. 379 total yards, 181 rushing yards. We mentioned this.
They averaged 280.
280 is what they average. It's nuts. And 2 takeaways again. This defense is phenomenal. The BYU defense has at least 2 interceptions in all 5 Big 12 games this season. Look at
14 from 11 different players. Isaiah Glasker gets a second, and then Faletau Satuala gets his first, true freshman. Awesome. This team continues to take the ball away.
They plus 7 in the takeaways on the year, I believe.
It's amazing. They did not need 2 takeaways to win this game per se, but it certainly helps, right? And it's awesome that, by the way, BYU is super deep. They play a ton of 2s on defense. There's some 3s that get in there. Regardless of kind of who leaves and whatever, you have an all kind of senior defensive line starters. Like, those backups are getting quality reps that it's not like they haven't played. The BYU defense is incredible. Oh, by the way, the BYU offense, should have mentioned a moment ago, they've scored between 34 and 41 in all the Big 12 games. The only Power 6 game they haven't is SMU, where it was 18-15, defense carried it. But this offense is better than you think, too. We were talking a lot about the defense. The offense last 2 weeks is like, yo, we're right here. We're scoring 34-plus every game. And those are winning numbers. Those really are.
Well, and it goes along the same lines we were talking about the offense on defense. It could be Glasker. It could be Jacob Robinson. It could be Mangelson. Or John Nelson. It can be so many different guys. Harrison Taggart has played fantastic this year. All of these guys. We didn't mention Jack Kelly.
Oh, by the way, probably BYU's best player, maybe Isaiah Glasker.
Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker should end up being all Big 12.
Walking into this, yeah.
And we haven't even brought up Tyler Batty.
Oh, by the way, Tyler Batty. Tyler Batty's numbers aren't as good as they were the last couple years, but he is having a huge impact on this defense regardless. Leadership, taking on blockers and so on and so forth. Okay, to special teams now.
Oh, it one was
of
special.
One of the plays of the year, the fake field goal. Okay, the snap to Sam Vanderhaar. Between the legs, no look to your boy Will Farron, who grabs it one-handed, by the way. He can throw it to Ethan Erickson, but Kalani's like, get out of bounds. Here's the first down marker. Get out. Yes. This was incredible. Sam Vanderhaar had never been a holder, by the way, until he came to BYU. He put in the time. Now he's snapping between the legs to Will Farron. Special teams continue to be in their bag. Kelly Papinga, the real MVP. We've seen... kickoff return for a touchdown, punt return for a touchdown, fake punt at Baylor. We've seen a 54-yard field goal. Now we add the fake field goal. BYU plays fun football on all sides of the ball. You want to be a corner that blitzes, play for Jay Hill's defense. You want to be a defensive lineman that gets interceptions. We've had multiple. Play for the BYU defense. You want to play on the most unique, fun, aggressive, efficient special teams in the country, come to Brigham. Come to BYU, where Parker Kingston will throw you a touchdown pass. This is fun to watch.
Had you ever seen a double snap? I'd never seen that before.
I don't recall. Yeah.
I have never seen
anything
that looked like that.
Oh, right. You've seen it where the holder will pitch it.
Yes, I've never seen essentially a double snap.
And people were like, well, yeah, you can stay. The holder, obviously, his knee is down, you're not down. That's the exception to the rule there. But how about Will catching it with one hand, looking at Ethan Erickson, being like, I'm running, he's running, I'll just run.
Well,
this.
The first option, and we've got a soundbite from Farron. I don't want to take it away. He may talk about it. In fact, let's run this in case he talks about it.
Yeah, we've been working on that one for weeks. It has been probably about the whole season. We got the look we wanted. They're bringing it off the edge. That little throw, I don't know if you saw the throw, Sam.
Between the legs!
Yeah, they were firm. It had to be between the legs. And at first, he was not good at it. The first week we ran it, and then he got better, and we put in the time, and it was there, and we got it. So we'll take it.
Between the legs snap.
Well,
that's hilarious.
I don't know if he ended up saying this on the TV post game. Obviously, I'm doing stuff on the radio side, but I know on the radio side, he said that the first read is to run it for the first. That's the number one goal. Because you could see that there was somebody down the field. If he wanted to throw it, the option was there. But it was obviously the number one read he's supposed to take is to get the first down by running the ball.
Ethan doesn't have a catch this year. That would have been nice to throw it. But, next time.
You know you're getting the first down. It's wide open. I would not want the pressure of being the one that throws that on the run when you're not necessarily used to throwing it and you make a bad throw or something.
And on the run. And if he plants, he's probably getting hit. So, don't.
I'm sure Will Farron is so much better throwing the football than I am.
Yes.
I'm with him. I'm just taking the first down, getting the first down, getting a new set of downs and going.
And no one's going to remember that BYU actually didn't score a touchdown on that drive. It was a field goal, and that's okay. It's awesome. Will Farrell.
Still got points.
Either way. Not Will Farrell. That's a different guy. Okay, BYU alone at the top of the Big 12 because Iowa State out of bye. So BYU's 5-0. They're in league. They're 8-0. Iowa State, a half game back of BYU there. Kansas State, Colorado at 4-1, right? There's a little bit of separation here. As long as BYU can stay in that 0 or 1 loss spot towards the end of the year, you like the Cougars' chances to get to the Big 12 title game with 4 to go. Bye week this week. And then Utah, who is 1-4 in league, which is crazy. Our question of the day. What was most impressive about BYU's win over UCF? At Kahuna Coug on X, the fast start and most of all the running game just keeps getting better and better. I'm telling you, if BYU can run for 200, they're going to win all four games the rest of the regular season.
LJ Martin being healthy and back in the lineup is a game changer for the offense.
Yes, it is. There's no question. Continue to weigh in X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, so BYU cracks the top 10 for the first time since 2021.
Hey, how about it?
Coming in number 9 in the AP poll. You good with number 9?
Yeah, I think BYU could be as high as 8. Notre Dame has a loss to Northern Illinois, which is weird, but you're Notre Dame. You have the four horsemen, touchdown Jesus, all that, so you get higher in the polls, I guess. The other one-loss teams have respectable losses, unlike Notre Dame. I shouldn't make fun of it too much. BYU's lost to Northern Illinois.
Yes.
But not this year. Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Tennessee, respectable losses. So I'm fine. Honestly, as long as BYU is ranked higher than Iowa State, which they are, 9-11 now, that's what I wanted, which was like, no. BYU just validated themselves because Iowa State at home won by 3 against UCF. Yeah. BYU went on the road and won by 13.
Well, the overall strength of the schedule and resume is stronger for BYU anyway.
Yes. Metrics overall like Iowa State more, but the metric of the head-to-head of UCF most recently really pops, right? BYU's looking great. Everything's awesome. I still hate the narrative of lucky takeaway. BYU version haven't played the greatest schedule. They don't have that game that validates everything, whereas like another top 10 team they can face, they might in the Big 12 title game, and then we'll see. And then if BYU's in the playoff, then it's on. It doesn't really matter at that point. But so far, so good. Don't care about the narrative outside of it, but I am happy that BYU's in the top 10. They absolutely deserve it.
100%. I predicted in Elder's Quorum yesterday they would be 9, so I'm feeling pretty good. That's
Spirit
where they
of prophecy came out.
I don't want to go that far.
I like that.
I do think
that bold either.
I do think that you can make a case they should be 8 ahead of Notre Dame because of the loss to Northern Illinois.
Now we're picking nits. Right?
But yes, 9's where I thought they would be, so pretty happy where they are.
Yeah, all good, man. All good. Okay, congrats to women's soccer, by the way, who beat number 14 Texas Tech. We showed you the game winner in the final minute to clinch fourth place in the Big 12. They get a bye in the tournament, so they play Saturday. Will that win against Texas Tech get BYU into the NCAA tournament?
It very well could. That was a massive win. And depending on what they can do in Kansas City, where we were just at a couple of days ago, what they can do there, like this could be one of those wins that can springboard a team that was looking for a spark. It could very well do that, 100%.
They've figured it out. They're fourth in the league on a down year.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What are the rest of you guys doing in soccer? Cost Texas Tech the regular season title,
yes,
by the way. Could have tied for that. 8-5-5 overall. Not bad when you lose 9 starters and you have a season-ending injury to one of the top goal scorers, Nelly Walbrook, before the season. Credit to the women's soccer team and this staff who have figured it out. They got a great win. They're number 34 in the RPI right now. Hopefully they make a run in the Big 12 tournament, get to the NCAA tournament, perhaps make a run. You know, they're not going to have the home field that they've had in the last couple of years. They may have to go out on the road. But honestly, being in the hunt here is above expectation given the losses. In football, if BYU lost 9 starters, we'd be like, I don't know what to expect. That'd be tough. This team has done well.
Well, and with the way Coach Rockwood schedules in general.
So tough.
She purposely schedules tough to make sure that if there are slip-ups, you're still showing that you're willing to play tough opponents. And that usually pays off. We'll see if it pays off even more in a year like this.
And they still use stupid RPI, which is so antiquated. Someone come up with a better one for soccer, please. Come on.
All right, tune in to today's episode of Coordinator's Corner.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick and special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga. 2 Eastern time on the BYU TV app. Can't wait.
Still ahead, ESPN's Trevor Maddich on if 12-0 is on the table for the Cougars and his look ahead to the Utah game. Not too early. This is BYU Sports Nation.
That's 8.
I mean, that's the thing, is he's 8-0 as a quarterback.
You come in here, work hard, and you're just trying to have fun on the field.
Stay humble, stay low, and stay hungry.
8-0, baby, let's go.
Let's go. Ready for statement number 9 coming up. Let's go, Cougs.
Oh, another statement in the books. Welcome back to Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepard. ESPN's Trevor Maddich now joins us. And Trevor, we have talked all year about Brigham Young football, and we have yet to talk about a loss. 8-0. What do you think?
That's incredible. I mean, it's just incredible, especially after the way last year finished with those consecutive losses. It felt terrible emotionally, and there were reasons for those losses, but those reasons have been resolved. And look how good this team can be. Look how good this team is. When everything comes together, they stay relatively healthy, and they've got the kind of leadership that they have.
Well, and the final score, Trevor, is not indicative of just how dominant BYU was in that victory in Orlando. Of all the things that were impressive that the Cougars did, what, in your opinion, was maybe the most impressive thing you saw out of BYU?
You know, the most impressive thing that I saw wasn't anything to do with the play, even between the whistles. It was these guys have a camaraderie and a brotherhood and a love for each other that is astonishing. There's always camaraderie with football teams. But the great football teams, whether they win all their games or whether they don't win all their games, that's a matter of talent and other issues. The great football teams have a togetherness that is the core foundation of everything that they're doing. And when a BYU Cougar makes a big play, he doesn't point at himself. Look at me, look at me. He points at his teammates. His teammates come up and celebrate with him. It's a we thing. It's a team thing. You can see that with, you know, bad things that happen as well. It's a team thing. We come together. We're going to be all right. There's no finger pointing outward at other people or inward at individuals. It's all together. And having been on these teams with that kind of brotherhood, you can see the love between these players. And you can see the will of Coach Satake as the foundation of this entire team. You can see these guys play with the fire and the passion that Coach has. But he genuinely loves his players. It's not an affect because he needs for them to believe so. It is the way he is. And that's one of the things I think he shares most in common with Lavelle Edwards, that Lavelle loved everybody in that organization. He was grateful for everybody's efforts and sacrifices in the organization. And Coach Satake is the same way. And his team plays not like he coaches. They play like he is. And that's stood out in this game against UCF so much.
The run game has been tremendous. LJ Martin comes back. Hinkley Ropati comes back. BYU rushes for 252 against UCF, 255 against Oklahoma State. Those are big numbers for BYU, Trevor. If BYU can control the clock in the run game, they can win a lot of games. And so far, that's really worked for the Cougars. Is the run game as good as it's going to be this year? Because right now, it's pretty good.
I've got two big powerful running backs with LJ and Hinkley Ropati. And that's one of the things that I talked about on the ESPN set doing halftime and postgame and pregame shows over the course of the day Saturday. It was great to have BYU play on 3:30 because their highlights kept rolling through all those halftimes and postgame shows. And one of those highlights was LJ Martin's touchdown run. He just powered on through right up the middle. And the thing that I was able to talk about was how early in the season, quarterback Jake Retzlaff was the leading rusher on this team. And when they played the highlight of Retzlaff's 29-yard touchdown run to open the scoring against UCF, I was able to say, look, he's still a great runner, but now he no longer has to be the leading runner. And both Martin and Ropati had more rushing yards than the quarterback, which was awesome. Now, neither one of those two running backs is likely to bust an 80-yard run. But that's okay because they continue to get positive yards, keep them even with and ahead of the chains, force the defense to have a physical battle to slow that run game down. And then that opens up everything for Retzlaff and the passing attack. And so having those two guys back and healthy behind that offensive line, and I've got to tell you, the offensive line right now is playing as well as any offensive line I've seen at BYU. They are playing at the highest of high levels. You put all that together, and you've got to pick your poison if you're a defense as to what you're going to try to do to stop these guys.
Trevor, you mentioned Jake Retzlaff, and man, what a season he is having and the leaps that he has taken from the final four games of the season last year to what we're seeing now is beyond impressive. And I think what really stands out to me, and it's not just maybe the passing numbers and the running numbers when you look at it, it's his decision-making in terms of when he's going to throw and when he's going to utilize his legs to pick up a first down or pick up chunk yardage. I love his decision-making right now.
Jason, that's a great point because part of the art of quarterbacking is knowing what not to do. In other words, you get a lot of you know, sandlot football, can do everything, outstanding athlete, dual threat quarterbacks who want to make a big play every time. And when the defense is, you know, gets the better of the offense on a given play, they still want to extend it. They still want to make something happen. And that's when the big mistakes happen. And so I think as Jake is growing in the art of quarterbacking, one of the things he's learning and that he's executing at a high level is knowing what not to do. And that is avoid the big mistake. And that's huge. That means that those big plays are coming to him as they will come to him naturally, instead of him trying to force it all the time. And I would compare that to the way Tom Brady played. Now, of course, I'm not saying that Jake is Tom, but when you look at Tom Brady, especially later in his career at Tampa, when the pocket started to break down, Brady wouldn't try to extend the play. and maybe be in the grasp and make a throw and try to, you know, break a couple tackles. No, when the pocket broke down, Brady would have a seat. He would literally sit down, concede to the defense that you won this play. Okay, but you're not going to get any more than you got because I'm not going to make a big mistake, and then we'll survive to run the next play. And this is the part of the art of quarterbacking, and Jake is doing this at a high level. It's one of the reasons that this team is winning and even winning close games, because they're limiting big mistakes, and most big mistakes come from the quarterback position.
ESPN's Trevor Maddich is on BYU Sports Nation. The Cougars jump up two spots to number 9 in the AP poll. Do the voters have it right? Is number 9 the right spot?
I think it's fair. I think it's fine. You know, it'll all take care of itself, of course, but take a look at who's behind them. I mean, 7-0 Army, Pitt, and Iowa State are behind BYU. Indiana's 8-0. They're behind BYU. There's three SEC teams ahead of BYU in the top 8. That would put BYU, if they were in the SEC, as the fourth highest ranked team in the SEC. Same thing, fourth in the Big Ten, second in the ACC, if they were in the ACC. And so as you look at the teams that are ahead of them and where BYU is right now, it's really lofty company. I mean, great blue blood programs, and there's BYU. And it's interesting to see how the national media is talking about BYU, because the you know, forget about breaking down the X's and O's and why they win, et cetera. The respect with which they talk about BYU as a program, as players, as coaches, is tremendous, because they respect how BYU approaches the game. They respect how BYU respects the game. And I think that that respect is being reflected in the polls, not just because BYU is undefeated, but because they believe that BYU belongs there.
Well, Cougars 8-0. They've got four games remaining, obviously a bye week before heading to Salt Lake City to take on Utah. Look, the players and the coaches, they can't and won't talk about things like this because they're one game at a time and it's the next task at hand. But in your opinion, do you believe a 12-0 season is legitimately on the table for BYU right now?
You know, absolutely. And I was thinking about that this morning, that, you know, we have to start thinking about this team as an undefeated team at 12-0 and possibly 13-0 heading into the playoff. Now, the players and coaches, like you said, Jason, they can't be thinking of it this way. And I'm knocking on wood, because, you know, you don't want to jinx anything. But that possibility is there. And the reason it's there is because this team has put itself in position with their preparation and their hard work and their recruiting and their tremendous coaching, and have put them in position to where it's perfectly reasonable. Now, they are going to face some really difficult football. Utah is still one of the most powerful teams at the Power Four level at both lines of scrimmage. They still have great skill people. That, you know, that would be, even though they're struggling at quarterback, Utah is a team that you can't overlook. Arizona State is a team that is a powerful running team, very physical. You know, there are landmines in the final stretch of the season. Then, of course, if they make it, you've got the Big 12 championship game, which is going to be against a highly ranked team, whoever makes it there. But is it possible? Most of the time we think, well, yeah, mathematically we might be able to do it. But if you look at what BYU is capable of on the field, you can see a path to 12-0 as long as they stay healthy and as long as they keep doing what got them to this point.
It's pretty wild. I mean, blue goggles attached, 8-0, real opportunity here. Bye week, then the aforementioned rivalry game at Utah. Let's start off with a tradition unlike any other, which we will repeat next week for sure. Hey, Trevor, what's it like to lose to a rival?
I don't know. You'll have to ask somebody else. My teams were 8-0 against Utah and Utah State. And you know what? It still matters. It still matters, and it still feels awesome.
Okay, let's talk about BYU and Utah. Okay, Utah certainly in a place that they didn't expect to be. Neither is BYU, I guess, right? 8-0, 4-4. I think people thought the reverse would happen. Utah's lost 4 in a row. They lose on a walk-off field goal at Houston. They've lost games at home. The offense is in shambles. The defense still really good. BYU is probably going to be a favorite in Salt Lake City. If they're not, hey, that's great. They weren't at UCF. They used that as motivation. How are you feeling about the Cougars against the Utes in 2 weeks?
Well, BYU's got a lot of pathways that they can win this game, but so does Utah. And that's what I think fans need to remember. that if you just look at the record and the struggles that Utah's had, a lot of that has to do with injury, especially at the quarterback position. And if your quarterback position isn't able to play to a championship level, then you're really struggling. But they have a bye too, and they'll be able to possibly solve some of those problems, or at least address them with game planning and things like that. So, and again, the skill people, Brant Keithy had a huge game in the loss against Utah. Dorian Singer, I mean, these are guys that can play football at Utah. And so you've got to be careful. But BYU is, by all outward appearances, taking the right path towards this. Because as the media has been talking to them about now being in the top 10 and now, you know, facing a Utah team that's been struggling, you don't hear BYU players gloating. You don't hear BYU players talking trash. You hear BYU players saying, we've been doing well, but we've got so many things we can get better at. And in this bye week, we're going to focus on those things because we want to be the best we can be. That is exactly the attitude that they need to have. Now, fans, have a party, man. I mean, blow the horn, do whatever you want, because that's part of the fun of this whole thing. The key is what the team is doing. And what the team is doing is the exact right focus on what they need to focus on this bye week. And you're hearing that from all the team leaders. And that's a beautiful thing.
That was just a taste of the BYU-Utah preview. We'll chat with you next Monday to break it all down. Can't wait, Trevor. Thanks for the time. Best of luck on all your coverage this week. And we appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Trevor.
Trevor Maddich, he's never lost to a rival.
Hey, he doesn't know what
that
feels like.
We've asked him that for 10 years straight, and it's good every time.
He literally does not know the feeling.
He doesn't know it in college.
When someone says, you know what I mean? He's like, no, I don't.
No, I literally don't know what it means to lose to a rival. That's awesome.
All right, join Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, and David Nixon as they break down the film from BYU's 37-24 victory over UCF. And after further review, coming up tomorrow, 7 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
Coming up, Taysom Hill was back with the Saints yesterday. Men's Hoops details on the secret scrimmage. And women's soccer's late game winner at number 14, Texas Tech. All coming up in the headlines after the break.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Jerem. He is Jason. Here are today's headlines.
Number 11, BYU football beat UCF 37-23 on Saturday to improve to 8-0. BYU's offense led the way with 483 yards of offense, including 255 yards on the ground. Jake Retzloff shined, passing for 2 TDs and rushing for another. But the play of the game came from the special teams.
It'll be 46 from Farron. It's a fake. And Farron can run for it to the right side. He's got the first down. What a play! What a play! The snap to Vanderhaar. He pitched it back to Farron. And there was nothing but green grass all the way to the far side of the field. The Cougs keep the drive alive. Kelly Papinga back in his bag.
And what makes this play even better, we just got breaking news that play was named the Pop-Tarts Crazy Good Play of the Week.
Yes, I didn't know that existed till now.
And by the way, to celebrate the honor, the Cougars are going to receive a care package of Pop-Tarts toaster pastries.
What is this? Does that also include
BYU broadcasting? With the win, BYU improves to 5-0 in the Big 12. They are in sole possession of first place. Cougars on a bye this week before playing at Utah.
Cougars jumped up 2 spots to number 9 in the AP poll this week. First time BYU's entered the top 10 since 2021. Highest ranking since December 5th, 2020, when the Cougars were number 8. And the Big 12 announces the kick time for BYU at Utah next week on November 9th. It will be at 10:15 Eastern time. Kick time on ESPN and pregame coming up at 8 Eastern that night on BYU Radio, BYU TV.
Cougars in the NFL, Fred Warner led the 49ers with 8 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, a pass breakup, and a forced fumble in a 30-24 win over the Dallas Cowboys. Kyle Van Noy had 3 tackles and a pass breakup for the Ravens in a 29-24 loss to the Browns. That was certainly one of the head-scratchers over the weekend. Taysom Hill ran 4 times for 20 yards, caught 2 passes for 21 yards, completed 1 pass for 3 yards, and forced a fumble that resulted in a safety for the Saints. The guy literally can do everything. His teammate, both in New Orleans and at BYU, Jamal Williams, added 4 yards rushing The Saints did lose, however, to the Chargers 26-8.
Jason Williams is the combined name we learned. Tyler Allgeier, 12 rushes, 33 yards, and a Falcons 31-26 win over the Bucs. Some BYU fans went to that game in Tampa Bay there after Orlando yesterday and Saturday. Kyrus Tonga, two tackles for the Cardinals. More from Kyrus in a moment with Spencer. Chris Brooks ran four times for 16 yards. Zane Anderson, a tackle for the Packers in a 30-27 win over the Jaguars.
All right, Robbie McCombs of Vanquish the Foe reported that BYU men's basketball beat Boise State 91-86 in their secret scrimmage on Saturday.
Thanks so secret,
to 25 points from Richie Saunders. BYU hosting Colorado Christian in an exhibition on Wednesday night at the Marriott Center. You can listen to the game on BYU Radio beginning at 9 Eastern time.
Richie Saunders, 25. Wow.
I'll take
Women's soccer picked up a huge road win over number 14 Texas Tech in the regular season finale. How about Avery Frischnecht in the 90th, the center back, getting it done? With the win, BYU earns a bye on the 4th seed in the Big 12 tournament. They'll play the winner of Oklahoma State and Cincinnati on Saturday.
Number 21, BYU women's volleyball picked up a road win over Colorado in four sets on Friday night, thanks to Brielle Kemmevoor's second career double-double with 14 kills and 12 blocks. With the win, BYU improves to 6-3 in the Big 12 ahead of a big home game. You were just talking to me about it, Jerem, against number 13 Arizona State on Thursday.
ASU's very good. Knocked BYU out of the NCAA tournament last year in Provo. And good luck to women's golf, which is out this morning in the Nanea Invitational in Kailua Kona, Hawaii. Well, yesterday, Spencer Linton and crew, who covered BYU-UCF, went down to Miami and caught the Cardinals' 28-27 win over the Miami Dolphins. And after the game, Spencer Linton spoke with former Cougar defensive lineman Kyrus Tonga.
Kyrus, great to reconnect with you, my friend, here in South Florida. You're with the Cardinals. This is year four. It's been an adventure for you. The Bears, the Vikings, and now with the Cardinals. How would you sum up your NFL career to this point?
Man, it's been exactly how it's supposed to go. I mean, I've been blessed to still be able to play here and to be able to play the game. And I'm just grateful to be here with the Cardinals. But it's been a roller coaster, but it's been perfect. So,
why do you feel like Arizona is a good fit for you with this team?
No, just the vibes, you know, and the real close with the team, this brotherhood with the D-line, coaches, everything. It's just perfect spot for me, and I'm just having fun with it right now.
Huge dramatic win for you at Miami, last second field goal. How did you feel like your team played overall today against the Dolphins?
I love how our team played. I think a lot of resiliency behind our team and the way they fought back and never gave up and never pointed the finger. So it was a great win, man. Probably one of the top wins in my career so far. So it's been good.
Life in the NFL is full of ups and downs, both on and off the field. So what's been the biggest challenge as you look back over the 4 years you've been playing in the league, transitioning from the college game now into NFL life?
I think being able to really be a pro on the I'm not in football. I think that's been the biggest thing. Going from college, we always had like structure. Even on our days off, we had structure. So being a pro, just learning how to take care of your body, do all the things that's necessary outside of football to be able to perform. So that's been probably the biggest thing.
Well, now you're balancing fatherhood and football. What's that been like, my friend?
I love it. I enjoy being a father, and it brings a whole different motivation to my game, so I love it.
Your BYU Cougars, your guys, mm-hmm. Coach Kalani, mm-hmm. number 9 in the country as of today, 8-0 after a win against UCF. What do you think about what BYU football is doing this season?
I love it. I'm tuning every weekend. These boys know. I'm talking my crap, and I love to see the boys play. Kalani got them boys going. Defense, offense, everything. I love to watch them. So go Cougs, always.
You have a deep personal relationship with head coach Kalani Sitake. What's your relationship like with him these days as you watch the Cougars so closely?
You know, it's different now. I don't get to see him every day and get to joke with him. But I love watching him coach and be the mentor that he was to me, to the players now. It's fun to watch on TV to see how close they are and to see them still doing what they do best and winning and dancing and having fun. I love to watch it, man. I love to watch it.
How do you rate Kalani as a dancer, Kyrus?
Come on, 12 out of 10. You know it. You know it. Ain't he a new dad, so you know he got his hips moving back.
Yes, he does. As you look back on where it all began, when Kalani started to recruit you, what has he meant to you, and how has he impacted your life?
Man, Kalani's been Kalani has been like a father figure to me, and always kept me out of trouble, man. And even in times when he tried, it's just been, it's been awesome to always have him there from high school to now to keep me in touch. So I'm grateful for Kalani. Kalani knows that, man. Great for him.
How did BYU football ultimately prepare you for play in the National Football League?
I think the biggest thing when I came in was I heard a lot of the speed at BYU football. It's all physical and speed. So being able to come from there and go into the league has been amazing. You know, so it's something I still work on, is that strength and speed I carry on from BYU, and it's been helping me wonders.
We're with Kyrus Tonga of the Arizona Cardinals on BYU Sports Nation. Kyrus, as you, again, look to the Cougars at 8-0, and you're a veteran here now in the NFL. You got that Wiley perspective. You've been through a lot. So what's your advice to BYU as they try and continue what has been a magical season?
Stay focused. Keep going. Love to watch you guys ball. I cannot wait to see y'all play against Utah, man. Need it. I'm so excited. I feel like I'm on a team still. I love it, man. Them boys got it. They got it.
November 9th in Salt Lake City. If you could get in that locker room and motivate them for that game, what would you say?
I won't say nothing. They good. I seen it from the first game. They good. I don't got to say a word.
I'd like to point out that once upon a time, you reached out to me and asked me to help you with a communications assignment. You got an A on that assignment, Kyrus. That's one of the highlights of my career, that I was able to help you.
You know it. Hey, yeah, and I'm going to need that after when I'm done with football. We got to stay in touch. You know it.
You tell me you're open to being a football analyst on BYU TV?
Oh, yeah. If you're still doing it, I'm with you. Come on.
We're doing it, brother. Okay, as we wrap up, and I mean, a lot of season left for you and the Arizona Cardinals, but where do you feel like your team and your defense need to get better to make a nice playoff run here?
I think we there's always some things to work on. It's never a perfect game, but I think just being able to stay together, take the tape, learn from it, grow from it. I mean, that's something that we continue to do. So it's we just got to keep learning together and growing together. That's it.
Okay, and then very last thing, I'm going to have you look in the camera, give a shout-out to all your BYU fans. A lot of people are super excited about what you're doing, man.
Cougar Nation, you already know. Go Cougs.
Thanks, Kyrus.
Yes, sir. Hey, appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
Excellent stuff. Tune in tomorrow for BYU football with Kalani Sitake as the head coach looks back on Saturday's win in Orlando and looks ahead to next week's game against Utah and Salt Lake City. You can check it out at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
After the break, Big 12 pick'em and a rise and shout out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation from Studio B. Here's how Lopini Katoa and the Elders, who were in the car, did. 2-5. Not the greatest week, but Lopini, you're not in last place. I did talk to Craig Bowlerjack on Friday. He said, man, my picks are pretty bad. 1-6. Guess what? If he picked again, he'd go 6-1, I bet. I have a 3-game lead on Spencer, 37-17 to 34-20. Okay, our question of the day. What was the most impressive part of BYU's win over UCF? Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, at Awabob on X. Details, game awareness. Think of Lassiter's reach for a first down on 4th-and-2 on BYU's second possession. That was big. If he does that late in the fourth quarter with the game on the line, it's the play of the game. That was a great play. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
One of the really cool things that BYU does for road games is they do something charitable. And BYU fans donated over 1,000 pounds of food.
Amazing.
At the service tailgate in Orlando this weekend. Just an unbelievable show of support to the Orlando area and to UCF by BYU. Unbelievable.
It's more than football, right?
100%.
You come together over a great cause. That's awesome.
Yep.
How about the BYU fans that showed up in the bounce house?
They took it over.
With like 5 minutes left in the third quarter, I talked to a friend who was at the game. I could have talked to Spencer too, but it was another person that was at the game that said, hey, with like 5 minutes left, it was just all BYU fans. It was just all blue. It was great. And then at 1:30 in the morning, they're up anyway.
Yeah. Well, and you were students, there. You were there, so.
No, I was asleep. The Rock shows up at the Provo Airport and greets the fans.
So cool.
It's amazing. Like, typically, this is reserved for, like, we just beat number 3 Oklahoma. No. You win a Big 12 game, you get this treatment. Our thanks to today's guests, Trevor Maddich and Kyrus Tonga. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Parker Mangum, Coordinator's Corner, coming up live at 2 Eastern on the BYU TV app. 8-0, baby! Go Cougs!
Enjoy the bye week!